Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You're listening to The Auburn Express. Powered by
the War Report.
All aboard the AM departure from platform 334, the Auburn Express. We're running on time and expecting no hiccups. Doing the work, hard work, to bring you the best Auburn sports content you'll find anywhere.
Let's talk some football.
Yep.
Let's get to some football. Last week's live, I was out of town. But what has been reported and what Hugh Freeze was telling the media was that Peyton Thorne has been the most consistent QB in his room.
Yep.
And before spring, he alluded to the fact that QB1 was Peyton Thorne's job to lose. So the assumption is that it's Peyton Thorne and whoever else is behind him. So the question that I want to pitch to you, Mike G, because you have been observing the practices. What's going on with QB2? How do Holden Garner and Hank Brown, how are they looking in spring ball?
QB2 is a mess right now. Now, if you listen to what Hugh Freeze has been saying about Thorne, he's saying he's been the most consistent, but he's not necessarily saying that he's playing great. The practice I observed last week, Thorne threw three picks, very similar to picks that he threw during the season last year. One on a deep post that was underthrown, another a ball to the flat where it was nothing on it. The DB just kind of picked it off, took it to the house, scored a touchdown, danced with the cheerleaders, like that kind of pick. And Auburn still has a lot of work to do at the QB position. So moving away from Thorne and talking about Auburn's plan B, if practice Peyton Thorne and game day Peyton Thorne don't line up, Hank Brown or Holden Garner, I think that is the question. Who is QB2? Right now, conventional wisdom would tell you that it might be Hank Brown based on how he performed in the bowl game. In practice, he's clearly behind Thorne. I would say this again for our listeners. In practice, Hank Brown is clearly behind Peyton Thorne in terms of consistency. And last week, Hugh Freeze let us watch the whole practice, Caesar. We got to see the whole practice. Usually it's just a 20-minute viewing window, but we got to be out there the whole practice.
I was trying to figure out how in the world were you able to see those three picks. But
Yeah, right. Like, so we don't usually get a team period, but this time we did. So some of those were in team period and some of them were in, you know, wide receiver drills. But to me, if you're Hugh Freeze with the set of quarterbacks that you have, yes, practice matters, and you have to play well in practice. But the real calculus that he's trying to make is, which one of these guys is going to be a gamer, right? Is Hank Brown going to be a gamer? Is he a guy you just bring off the bench cold, and he can go do what he did, 7 for 9, 132 yards in like a quarter and a half? Is he that guy? Can he be that Hank Brown versus SEC competition? This is the question this spring that Hugh Freeze will be faced with. Because in my mind, there's nothing Peyton Thorne's going to show you in practice that's going to make you any more confident or any less confident in him come game day. It's just not. He is what it is. He's got to go do it on Saturdays to instill confidence in his coaches. His practice habits aren't going to help his evaluation, if you ask me at this point. So when you get to the other two, Holden has got a couple of chances. I wouldn't call them great chances. But he's gotten a couple chances to show what he can do. But again, cold when it's already a disaster coming off the bench. So is, you know, we've heard great things about practice Holden Gurner, but we haven't had a lot of opportunities to see if that translates for game day Holden Gurner. Right. Now, Holden is in, to me, the unenviable position, Caesar, of being the only QB in this room that Hugh Freeze didn't bring in.
Right.
Robbie Ashford is gone. Peyton Thorne, he brought in through the portal. Hank Brown signed in December of 2022. We talked about this before we started recording. And Walker White clearly is his guy. So of the four candidates that have realistic chances to get, you know, reps in game this year, Holden's the only one that Freeze didn't bring in. Now, you know, we know how Ike and Brian feel about this. Hugh Freeze is going to play his guys. I think that that's never been more true. If you're a holdover, particularly at the quarterback position, I'm not sure how any of these guys get time over the guys that Freeze brought in. Now, I want to take you back to a conversation I had with Freeze on the court after the SEC tourney. We're on the court. Caesar, confetti's falling everywhere. Auburn's excited. They've won their third SEC tournament, and Coach Freeze is out there. So I'm standing on the court, and I feel a little chilly all of a sudden. And then I turn around, and there's Coach Freeze. So I turn to him, and I said, when might Auburn fans expect to be celebrating your next SEC championship? He said, very pointedly, give me two more recruiting classes. This portal is not the way. I'll repeat that again. Give me two more recruiting classes. This portal is not the way. Now, let me tell you this. The fact that he said, give me two more recruiting classes should tell everybody where he thinks this team is at this year. He said, give me two more recruiting classes. Now, if he thought that this was an 8 or 9 win team, do you think he would say that? I think he's been very realistic about where he thinks he's at with his talent. Maybe overly so. So what it boils down to is, you know, Walker White is clearly a dude, but he's not. They're not going to throw him to the wolves in year one. That's his guy. He's going to be. He's going to make sure that that kid has every opportunity to step in and take the reins. I would say similarly to the way Carson Beck did following up Stetson Bennett at Georgia. Sit and wait your turn. We're going to ride it out, and when it's your time, it's going to be his job to lose.
Yeah,
if you ask me, right? The portal, and I agree with Freeze, is just definitely not the way. I think it'll be hard for them to recruit high-level quarterbacks if they're constantly going to the portal to find some guy that has 2 years' experience to come in and play. But if you're holding, how do you dig out of this hole?
My question is, what is a scenario to where Holden Gurner is on Auburn's roster post-spring?
Okay. So they will have to... I'm QB2 by end of spring. I'd have to be QB, and we'll talk a little later about how that maybe happens, but I'm QB2 by end of spring. I'm not fighting for QB2 going into the fall. There's no competition. I've been here longer than the other guy. I've been here in this quarterback room longer than everybody on campus. So if you're not choosing me by the end of spring, you're not choosing me. He should be out of here. I think Holden is on track to actually graduate this coming December. Now, he's got the freebie transfer in his pocket, but it makes you wonder, what does he do? Does he wait until he graduates in December and then transfers? But then it's another bum year for you on a roster where you're never going to break through.
Yeah.
To me, he's got to be the clear QB2. And the reason I'm saying the clear QB2 is because what Hank Brown did in that bowl game, I think, put a lot of pressure on Holden. Mm. You know, because Holden has, under Harsin, the times that Holden got in the game, they either didn't let him throw the ball or he threw very little.
Right.
You know, later in the season under Freeze, same, he didn't get a lot of opportunities. He has not had a lot of opportunities to throw the ball in game. But when he has, it hasn't looked great. You could argue that Hank Brown got the same opportunity and did better. So does that give him, so game day Hank Brown has an edge over game day Holden right now. Whether that's fair or not, you know, that's probably for another show.
Right.
Right. But you'd have, right now you'd have to say that Hank Brown took more advantage of his first opportunity to go in and throw the football in a Division I game than Holden did. Now, is Holden Garner a good quarterback? I think he is. Will he be the quarterback here? I don't think so.
Is it been a matter of he just has not been a good fit for this style of offense, do you think? Because he was recruited under Harsin to play in a specific type of offense.
He was.
Has it been a tough transition for him to kind of adapt to what Hugh Freeze is asking his QBs to do?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's not a good fit for this. Now, we talked in an earlier show about the run-to-pass ratio. Auburn ran the ball 61% of the time and passed the ball 61% of the time. Hugh Freeze wants to see that number.
61 run, 39 pass.
Pass, yeah. And so Freeze wants to see that number even out a little bit, but it's clear he wants his quarterbacks to be mobile, and I just don't think that's holding. Right? Walker has got a little bit of wheels on him. Payne Thorne is an underrated runner, if you ask me. You know, Hank is not a runner, but he's proved more with his arm. So this is why I think Peyton has the edge on everybody else in the room as well, too. Hugh Freeze likes a little mobility out of his quarterbacks, and two of them in there don't have it. And the other one that has it is a true freshman. So what does that leave you with? That leaves you with Thorne at quarterback.
Yeah.
Clearly, right? Thorne ran for, I think, around 500 yards on the ground last year. So he contributed in that way. And, you know, like I said, this battle between Hank Brown and Holden Garner, the other thing that I think as well, too, is that what happens if you play Hank Brown and he kills it? Right? Or you play Holden and he kills it. Thorne is done after this year, no matter what. Like, he's gone after this year, no matter what. Then if one of the young guys plays well enough, where does that leave Walker White? Where does that leave the guy that you made probably a lot of commitments to about playing time and a timetable? It kind of leaves him on no man's land. I don't think he wants to do that. I think Hugh Freeze wants to turn this thing over to Walker White in 2025. Personally, ideally, I should say.
Right.
And if he's not going to turn it over to Walker in 2025, it's going to be because somebody who's returning has played super well. And that's got to, and one is not your prototypical Hugh Freeze quarterback.
I think that's almost true. But that's almost I would think that's a better problem to have as opposed to the alternative, right?
Yeah.
So, A-Day is next Saturday.
It is.
Spring ball is about to come to, we're about to conclude spring ball. How do you think in terms of reps in spring ball? We know what Peyton Thorne, at least we think we know what Peyton Thorne is. He's been the most consistent guy. Then how do you expect, or what would you expect to see in terms of how they divvy up the reps between these three QBs in the game?
That's a great question. Okay, so A-Day. First of all, if you didn't know, A-Day is now going to be on TV. At first, it wasn't going to be on TV. Now, ESPN Network, SEC Network Plus is adding a live stream for Auburn. So let me start with that. We'll be talking about this. You know, set that thing to record if you can. But you need SEC Network Plus to watch that. Look, I don't know how much people need to see a Peyton Thorne. I don't know how much live game experience Peyton Thorne needs. I don't. If it were me, I would play Peyton a quarter and I would let the other guys get the rest of the reps. Personally, That's what I think. And I think that you split a lot of time between, we'll see what they say for the 8A format. I know, like, we had, I think one of the formats under Harsin was a complete mess. I didn't like it at all. But they did like a running clock and it felt like 8A was like 5 minutes, or maybe that was last year. It didn't feel very long. This chat helped me out here.
Well, the second, like after the half is never long. It's never long. And the weather was terrible last year. So that's probably played a factor.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, what it boils down to is you need to evaluate the other guys, I think, more than you need to evaluate Thorne. You do. You need to evaluate those guys. Now, if you expect wholesale changes at who plays at receiver, because there's a lot of hype in the media being made about the young guys, and I'm telling you, if it's anybody but Cam Coleman, it's overblown. Now, I'll say this again for the people in the back. Any of the hype around any of the other receivers not named Cam Coleman is overblown right now. It is off-season clickbait stuff. These young guys need to be brought along a little bit. Same way, you know, I tell you, we're high on Walker White at the War Report, but I'm telling you, he's swimming right now. He's swimming right now, Caesar. Some of these receivers are in that same boat. So if you expect wholesale changes, then maybe you want to see what Thorne's chemistry is with the guys that you expect to play. But I'm telling you right now, he's getting it with Cam Coleman. I don't see him really throwing the ball to many of the other young receivers. So, you know, like I said, that's the only scenario under which I see that you need to get Thorne significant reps, but you're doing that in practice.
Yeah.
Now, is Hugh Freeze trying to sell something to fans on A-Day? Maybe. Like, you know, we'll see. We'll see what he decides to do there. But, you know, ultimately, like I said, I just don't think that you are going to see anything from Peyton Thorne that you haven't seen already. If you're going to roll with them, roll with them. But take the time to evaluate the other guys. Don't take reps away from them, because if you have to turn to them, they already have limited in-game experience.
Right.
If you're going to take scrimmage reps away from them, what are you going to expect when the season starts? Because let me set this scenario up for you. Auburn starts the year with Alabama and A&M, Cal, and then New Mexico. Then you start SEC play against Arkansas. Here's your nightmare scenario if you're Freeze. Peyton Thorne plays just well enough to win those games, but not great. Then you go into SEC play, and you may have some repeat performances from last year. And you got to throw one of the other guys to the Wolves, and you're already in SEC play. So, yeah. Don't waste this opportunity. I mean, that's most likely to happen if it, you know, to go that way. So don't miss these opportunities to get these guys reps in the spring. More game day like reps. That's what I hope. That's how I hope it plays out for the other guys.
We'll see. But at the same time, Mike, as much as Peyton Thorne ran the ball last year, I will be curious to see.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
If how far we deviate from a 61-39 ratio, to me, that's the real question here.
And if Peyton Thorne is running, if we're running the ball, if we're running Peyton Thorne a lot, those hits are going to take a toll. You need to make sure that you have QB2 solidified, in my opinion, which is why I think this is an important spring, because you need to know what's behind Peyton. Not that I'm hoping for Peyton to be injured or whatnot. That's not the issue there.
Yeah.
You just need to have a solidified number two.
Yeah, I again, to me, that's what the spring should be about at QB, right? If you're already saying that it's Peyton Thorne's job to lose, that tells you a lot about where this coach's mindset is at. Now, we argued about this. I've had people come at me about this in the comments, about whether there was an actual QB competition last spring or not. I don't know how you can argue there was based on how it turned out and what the coach said. He said the quiet part out loud. And look, man, it's his choice to go whatever way that he wants. You know, what's the best for your team? Is it best for them to believe that there's an actual QB competition? Because if I'm holding, I don't know that I believe that. That's my number one reason why I think he should be out of here. Make it simple for you, right? But, you know, to figure it out between Hank and Walker White, because I'm not going to play here. And they kind of showed you what they thought about holding in the bowl game, right? Like, you pulled Thorne, and he didn't even get a whole half.
Yeah.
They didn't let him ride it out. They didn't let him – they didn't give him a chance to work through any adversity. They just pulled him after a couple tries and put Hank Brown in.
Yeah.
Sure. His guy. If it's me, I'm out of here. It's just clear he's going to favor his guys. Again, it's his program to run. I'm just saying that's what I think the reality is for Holden Gurner. You know, I'm not really having a conversation about whether that's right or wrong. Just, you know, it just is what it is. So if you're holding, you realize that, and then you feel out the next 2 weeks, and after next Saturday, I'm making a decision quickly.
Yeah.
About whether I want to stay. I just don't think that, you know, if he's not certain after April the 6th, I don't think he wastes any more time on this roster with these coaches. Go find someplace, man, where they believe in your talent, personally.
Hmm. All right, let's see what you guys say, or see what you guys think in the comments. Leanne Owen says, I think it's going to be Hank as QB2. Auburn Dad for Life says, so who's going to A-Day because my fam is going? He asked.
This might be one of the most packed A-Days we've seen in a while. I think a lot of people, Caesar, are going to want to see the Cam Coleman show. Right? And last A-Day, the weather was terrible. So
this is really kind of a mulligan for Hugh Freeze in terms of like his first A-Day.
Last year it was terrible, and he didn't want to throw the ball a bunch in rainy conditions. I think the best pass we saw was Robbie to Javaris Johnson.
I think so.
I mean, I think Robbie threw like three passes at A-Day last year. It was not a good show for fans, and it was not a good time for fans. And I think that they'll be looking to put on a better show for fans this A-Day if weather is permitting.
Eugenia says Peyton Thorne was consistent last year, consistently below average.
Look, man, I took a lot of heat last year for talking about how fall Peyton Thorne was playing. And then the season started, and by the end of the year, when we said, look, Hugh Freeze isn't going after a portal QB, like they're not going to bring in. And there was a lot of smoke being pushed by a lot of other media members to get clicks about the kid from Washington State and all this. And we're like, they're not picking up a portal QB. And they didn't. But how Thorne played during the season was consistent with what we reported in fall camp. It just was. That's not even up for debate. That's not an argument, man. That's not debatable. Right. And a lot of those people who were criticizing that reporting were in my mentions talking about how could we not go after a portal QB? We can't go with Peyton Thorne. The world's going to end. And I'm like, well, I don't know what to tell you. It is what it is. The coach is telling you. He's telling you with his words what he's doing. And I'll credit him. He's been pretty consistent based on what he said.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we'll talk about that on a later show. I was going to ask you something, but Stephen Neely says, appreciate the super chat. He says, projections on in-game reps for QBs during the first four games. Must they be blowouts for others to get time?
You know, that's an interesting question because I forgot what game it was last season, but there was one where it was a blowout. And I'm like, why is Thorne still in the game? Might have been Samford, right? He had a pretty decent stat line, but he still threw a couple picks. Yeah,
but he didn't really set the world on fire with his stats. That was the problem, Mike.
No, but if you ask Q Freeze in the post game, he was like, well, he came up just short of 300 passing yards and like 150 rushing yards. I forgot what the stat line it was. And the last person to do was Nick Marshall, right? And so he was trying to sunshine pump his own quarterback after that game, but it was Samford. And I get it, trying to be positive, but, like, you can't do that again going into this year. You just got to call spade a spade.
I don't want
to
see Peyton Thorne in the second half of
Alabama A&M?
I don't want to see him in the second half at all. If you're in the game in the second half, wow.
Incredible.
I expect to see – again, if Mike G is saying that he thinks Holden Garner is likely to be here, then you're seeing Hank Brown.
Yeah. Let's see him.
Pretty much in the second half. He's going to take the majority of the reps in the second half. That's what I would expect to happen. Mm-hmm. Against Cal, I would expect Peyton Thorne perhaps maybe to play midway through the second half.
Well, again, depends, because if you struggle the same way you did offensively, this is going to be a game. That was only a 14-10 win. Yeah. That was a 14-10 win. Now, in Jordan Harris, it's going to be a different story for Cal.
Different story, right.
Yeah, but, we'll see. We'll just see what it looks like. Freeze is going to be calling plays, so there will be no question about that. And you will see what him and Derek Nix cook up. I assume it's going to be better because there will be more. There won't be a tug of war. There won't be a – we started the game this way, but I'm interjecting, you know, like I said, when it's his vision, I expect it to be better. When it's Freeze's full vision, I expect it to be better because it will show that kind of unity of vision on the field. And I think fans will see that as well. Now, against the lesser competition, Caesar, we'll see what it means. But it should produce blowouts in two of those first three games. So Cal, I don't know, man. Like, if it's still kind of struggling, they might find out versus Cal, which is why I like that game where it is on the schedule. And then you fine-tune it versus New Mexico, and you start SEC play versus an Arkansas team that they should beat, and they did beat last year, right?
Yeah, they did.
Right. And so, and after that, Oklahoma comes to Jordan Hare for the first time ever. Get it together. Wait, is it Oklahoma? Is it Georgia? I think it's Georgia. And then Oklahoma. Yeah. 2 weeks from then, Oklahoma comes to Jordan Hare for the first time ever. Get it together before Oklahoma, baby. Let's see a show.
Oda Smith, appreciate you, man. It says, just win. I mean, in the four games between Oklahoma, Georgia, A&M, Gumps, we should go at worst 2-2. I'm even saying 3-1 because two of those four at home. So win. He wants to see Auburn win. Oda Smith comes back and says, more of the story, we cannot play away from home. You would know what he was referencing there, but
yeah.
Jonathan Boyson, appreciate the super chat. I didn't see your comment, man. So comment it again. I'll look for it. Auburn Dad for Life says, Mike, will Peyton Thorne improve with one voice and direction now on offense? So if you're asking, does the change in Hugh Freeze calling it, Derek Nix understand, will this help Peyton Thorne in year two?
I think it would help any quarterback. It's going to help everybody. Should help running backs, should help receivers. You know, having a better vision for how to do this thing should help everybody. And I don't know that that's super, you know, that's not groundbreaking stuff I'm saying there. But, you know, the tug of war between him and Montgomery produced a lot of the mediocre deals. And this is what I think it will eliminate for Freeze. By the end of the year, he was receiving a lot of criticism because it seemed like whenever the offense wasn't working, I wasn't that involved. And then when they had a breakout game, well, I got a little bit more involved. And it left fans with the feeling like, dude, stay involved.
Right.
If it's clearly not working without you, but working with you, stay involved. So now you get a chance to see whether
or not. That excuse this year.
Yeah, it won't be that excuse this year. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, and before we get out of here, James Barnett asks, fellas, what happened if we get Juju in 2025? Does he redshirt? I don't know if Auburn gets this kid. This is a kid who's from Georgia, committed to USC.
Yeah.
A name that I've been hearing to look out for is TJ Latif. from California. The coaching staff probably feels really good about him. But, yeah, Juju came to visit several weeks back, but I don't know where Auburn stands with him, to be honest with you. So,
yeah, I will say I wouldn't count anybody out under free. I mean, the one thing I will not criticize him on is recruiting. Man can go out and he can, you know, he can recruit. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes there for him.
Guys, listen, if you're enjoying this conversation about the QB room and what to expect for spring ball, share this with those of you, those who you know would appreciate this content, and conversation. Smash that like button and subscribe if you are new to the channel.